Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Curtis, it just feels good for Curtis, right? You know, I feel good for Curtis. I know the locker room does. He's been working so hard all year. He's been dealing, working through some injuries every week, and to come out and do what he did. I really believe it was last week going out there and playing in that game set him up for success this week. Because if you kind of drop yourself back in after being out, whatever it would have been, having not played last week, it's not the same. So I think he gained some confidence from going out there last week.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the performance. Curtis Samuel, big touchdown yesterday, and the Bills win over Denver in the wild card round. Now they look ahead to Sunday, matchup with the Baltimore Ravens in Orchard Park, as we welcome in Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com and the Shout podcast. You know, with Samuel being involved the way he was yesterday, Ryan, it makes you wonder, and we kind of heard this late in the season, the Bills are not showing all their cards here. They saved some of their best for the postseason, and maybe Samuel in that speed is a part of it. Welcome back into the sports bar, buddy.
Hey, thank you very much. And yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, it's exactly what you alluded to and what the team alluded to. There's still a lot of tricks up the sleeve. Why show everything in the regular season when you're going to need some of this come playoff time? And, you saw Curtis Samuel, the separation ability. That was why he was such a target for the Bills in free agency. You look at Khalil Shakir, it felt like over the last month and a half of the season, the Bills went away from those quick passes to Shakir, which has kind of become a bread and butter in season, almost like let's forget about this play call or this part of it. And sure enough, that was part of what you saw. You saw Kincaid more involved than he had been in some time. Same with Knox, and the list went on. So it's going to be interesting because it's only going to get tougher with this matchup this weekend against Baltimore. And if you win that, you obviously have most likely a showdown with Kansas City, but potentially a home matchup with the Texans.
Yeah, I love when the Bills win a playoff game, Ryan, and you see stats. This is the last time since Thurman Thomas. Like, okay, that was, 100-yard game there for James Cook. But the question I have is about Ty Johnson and just how we really should just kind of give some kudos here to the Bills front office for finding this guy and re-signing him. And Ryan, I've looked at that the replay a bunch of times. I don't know for the life of me how he kept his feet in bounds there.
Yeah, I don't know. Kept the feet in bounds, be able to get the arms underneath, the hands underneath it to scoop that low ball, especially when the velocity Allen was throwing it with. at that last second as the pressure is closing in on him. He's such a good pass catcher, and I'm sure he appealed to the Bills a lot last season. The whole story about the injury, the Jets telling him to get surgery, then they release him, and Bills bring him in for one preseason game, and they see enough there to sign him to the practice squad and eventually gets elevated. And I'm sure the more that he's been with the team, the more that they saw out of him as a pass catcher. You knew that he could block well. Even running the ball, he's been so good. He has the speed to go to the outside, the power to run on the inside of the tackles. And, you know, in a way, down the stretch of the season, he kind of phased out Ray Davis. And you hope the best for Ray Davis, as you mentioned, in the concussion protocol. But Johnson can kind of do a little bit of everything, and he's been a great complement to James Cook.
Ryan, when we think about this matchup coming up on Sunday against the Ravens, and we have the fresh kind of scars from week four, we remember what that game was like. I think what a lot of people forget is that the Bills were shorthanded defensively in that game. You were without Milano, you were without Terrell Bernard, you were without Taron Johnson, all three who going into this game should be available for the Buffalo Bills. How much of a difference is that going to make, especially when you consider that Milano and Johnson have plenty of familiarity going up against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, for that matter?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Both sides are missing some guys. Two offensive linemen for the Ravens were out in that game. But the three players that you mentioned are kind of the heart and soul of the defense. Milano is very familiar. Taron Johnson with the pick six in the end zone a few years ago in the playoffs. Everyone remembers that play, but Johnson does a little bit of everything, and then Bernard too. So I think the Bills are going to play a little bit more of their base defense in this game against the Ravens. They're going to have to be stout up front, which they did a great job of against the Denver Broncos. But obviously the Ravens are a completely different beast with the way that they can kind of run those RPOs between Lamar Jackson and Henry. And it's kind of pick your poison, because if you jump down on Henry, Lamar keeps the ball. So the Bills have to have a great game plan in place. I was very, really encouraged from what I saw, especially from Milano. Milano looked to kind of be running at the speed that I remembered him during, the last few years pre-injury. It felt like he was kind of running through sand or running in mud a little bit early on in his return. But the sideline to sideline, the sack that went for no yards, some of the other plays he made, it looked like he's kind of returning to form. And when you have those three players, it's going to help significantly, because the Bills offense is going to be in a much better spot as well in this rematch.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, and the Shout podcast. Overall, Ryan, like, we know third downs have been a bugaboo, and then that opening drive, hey, an opportunity to get off the field. Oh, they find Cortland Sutton and then the play over the top. But then after that, only allowing one third down conversion following that. It's not an answer with just one reason, but what would you point to as some of the reasons why we've seen an improvement here on the third down defense?
Well, you do have to give credit to the Bills defense, obviously, but the Broncos had the third highest percentage of three and outs in the league going into this game. So, I said something had to give in this match. Either the Bills were going to give up a ton of third downs, or the Broncos were going to be able to stand the field on third. And we saw it was the Bills kind of winning out in their end, where minus that first drive where they give up the third and eight, and then two plays later the deep ball, they were great on third down. And, to credit the Bills, the run defense, they didn't set up a lot of third and very manageables for the Broncos, which I think obviously helps out when it's not third and two, third and three. If it's third and six, third and seven and beyond, that makes it very tough, because you almost know for a fact that they're going to have to throw the ball if you're Bo Nix. The screen game, I love the way the Bills came flying in on the screens. They tackled well there. That was another strength that Denver had. So, it was the gap integrity up front, and it was getting off, shedding blocks, and making plays against a great screen team. Those are two of the biggest factors, in my opinion.
Yeah, and after the game, Rasul Douglas had some comments about the team hearing some of the chatter around the media about their inability to get off the field on third down. It kind of made a big deal out of it, and it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, no, these guys are listening. They are gathering bulletin board material and playing with a little bit of a chip. It's partially why I love that the line switched, and now that the Bills are a 1-point underdog at home to this Ravens team that they might go into this game, guys like Deion Dawkins, help Josh Allen will go into this game with something to prove.
Yeah, they're going to go into the game with something to prove, being the underdogs in terms of the point spread. They can talk about, hey, you know, the week four, they beat us by 25. I mean, it wasn't close. So they're going to have that extra motivation, that chip on their shoulder. They know they're going to be at home where they're undefeated. It's going to be a different environment for the Ravens. And as dangerous as they are on the ground, if this turns into a shootout and you are able to make Lamar Jackson a little bit more one-dimensional, that's when the turnovers can happen. He did a great job protecting the ball, don't get me wrong, but it's those, you know, if they can't lean heavily on the run, that's exactly what you want the Bills to be able to do, is get them out of that. Then anything can happen in this game. So you look at the offense from that first matchup, too, with Josh Allen and company. They were still figuring things out. I know they were coming off of a few blowout wins. They had a game against Jacksonville, and we saw how bad Jacksonville was, though, this year. They're still trying to figure out, coming into week four, you know, how do we get these guys all involved? What is Mac Hollins' strength and Keon Coleman? They didn't have Amari Cooper yet at this point, and you know, the list kind of goes on. Joe Brady was still figuring things out. And, you know, the other thing, too, is going into that matchup, the Ravens, I don't want to say they were desperate, but they started out slow in the beginning of the year, and they needed that win a lot more than Buffalo did at that point in time.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here. Special teams may have a role in this. You have two kickers that, you know, they've had some kind of valleys here in their season, whether it's Tyler Bass or certainly Justin Tucker is not the same Justin Tucker we're used to seeing. But my question is about the Bills special teams, because if it was not for that Jamarcus Ingram falling asleep and missing that assignment, we might have been talking about, hey, that wasn't a bad game for the Bills special teams, whether it was Tyler Bass correctly putting one in the landing zone and that resulted in the kickoff being at the 20, Mac Hollins delivering a big hit here. You know, a game like this, Ryan, where it could kind of swing. And then another thing that I liked yesterday, should we entertain Khalil Shakir as the punt returner?
So I'll answer the last part first. I'm going to say no for the last part. As much as I thought he did a good job returning punts, he's too important to the offense. You don't want something to happen there. You don't want him to have to step off of the field for offensive reps because he's winded from a punt return. I really do feel like Codrington has been dynamic at times in that role, some big returns. The speed is there. If he's good to go, I would rather see Codrington back there. Is, you know, funny as that sounds, he's done a great job this season in terms of handling Buffalo's wins and showing things like that off. Now, if Codrington can't go again, then yeah, Shakir by far is their best answer and solution. As for yesterday's game, you're right. If it wasn't for the fake punt and the Bills not, you know, being able to stop that, just getting over there a second or two too late, we'd be saying how great they were because Tyler Bass was perfect. You want to talk about Ty Johnson averaging almost 30 yards per kickoff on his returns. Obviously, the big hit by Mac Hollins on Marvin Mims. They were solid across the board, but you know, I don't necessarily know how much of that falls on Ingram because, if anything, the Bills should have been alert for the punt, playing that a little bit differently. This is a Sean Payton team. Sean Payton is always known for going in his bag for these trick plays. He did it in a Super Bowl before. He had to announce onside kicks. He's done fake punts before. The Bills were kind of asleep at the wheel, and that falls on Smiley. And, you know, Smiley is already on the hot seat. If there's another snafu on special teams during this playoff run, whether it's just next week or if the Bills are able to keep it going, it just doesn't bode well for him. And this has become a weakness in terms of the overall unit, where for the first few years of the Sean McDermott era, that was one of the biggest strengths of this team.
Hey, Ryan, do we have ourselves a memeable moment between Josh Allen and NFL officials? Because I know that a lot of people around the NFL believe that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes get all the calls. But now you've got the optics of Bill Vinovich going over to Josh Allen and having a little conversation with him there on the sideline, which I just don't remember ever seeing an NFL official do. Did we get clarity on what that was all about?
Yeah, pretty much telling Allen to not complain about certain calls. I guess he was yelling at the officials a little bit about a certain play, and he was kind of told to knock it off a little bit. So that in the moment, I'm sure Allen was heated. But listen, there are calls that were missed by the officials. There was a blatant hold by Surtain yesterday on Dalton Kincaid in the end zone. That official was right back there, and for whatever reason, he didn't catch it, didn't see it, was looking slightly off there. So whether it was that or something different, Allen saw something. He didn't like that it wasn't called, and apparently he was just a little bit too vocal about it.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here. Where do you come down on Mac Hollins? I mean, I thought Halloween was in October, right? But, hey, if he's making plays, making big hits like that, wear whatever you want to wear coming into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the teammates and some of the front office might even, like, build the actual Flintstone mobile if he keeps playing like that, making those types of plays. He can keep wearing that get up, and he can pedal his way in barefoot to the stadium if that's what's going to be. You know, he had the big hit, as we already mentioned, on Nims. He had a great catch late in the game. And, yeah, at that point, the game was out of reach, but it pretty much sealed the game in terms of setting them up for running the clock out. And he did draw that penalty, but I'm sure his teammates love how fired up he got and, you know, putting a hand on Surtain's helmet, standing over him. He had some moments yesterday that he could have had two personal foul penalties against him, but the teammates love him. He made plays in both phases, and he did a ton of blocking in that game up at the line for James Cook. And the way Cook ran the ball, especially in the first half, you got to tip your cap a little bit to Hollins there. So, across the board, he did a lot of really good things for the Bills.
Ryan, when you look at the other divisional matchup between the Chiefs and the Texans, I mean, I think everybody's easily going to say, oh, this is the Chiefs. They're going to obviously beat the Texans. The Texans get by the Chargers, but they didn't look that impressive doing it. Is there anything to the Chiefs having this kind of layoff, this layover, where they haven't played really any meaningful football or haven't been on the field for a few weeks here?
Yeah, there's something to that. I still expect the Chiefs to win that game, but you know, the starters haven't played since Christmas Day. So you're going out there with weeks of maybe, I guess rust is the best way of putting it. I know they practice, but it's not the same as live game action. If they come out slow and, you know, Mahomes a little bit off the mark, maybe they can get a 3-and-out. The Texans can put up some points. Anything can happen at that point. The Texans are going to have to bring their A game, and I don't know if they have enough talent there after getting some decimated with some injuries this year, some serious ones at that, where they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. But when you've been off that long, I do think there's an opportunity maybe for Houston to come in and maybe get out to a fast start, and then anything, like I said, could happen.
Ryan, and of course, you have this other storyline in the NFL, these teams trying to fill vacancy at head coach, and the Patriots have already done that. And my question is about Joe Brady. We know that there were four teams that requested permission to talk to Joe Brady. Hard for me to imagine the Bills blocking that, but haven't heard too much otherwise, do we know anything? And if so, are there any interviews planned? Because certainly it is a busy time of year for any coach that is still in the postseason.
Yeah, I believe the interviews are supposed to be this week. Obviously, they'd be via Zoom. There'd be some time when he's not necessarily at the facility for work reasons. I mean, he could still do the interview from the facility itself, just off the clock. You know, I don't think it's going to be a distraction. I think he knows that, one, the further the Bills go, the better this looks for him, whether it's this year as a coaching vacancy or even next year. If the Bills get to the Super Bowl, if the Bills win a Super Bowl, he'll be the hottest name next year. If all the positions are filled up and if a team doesn't wait for him. But you also have to look, you know, if I'm Joe Brady, I'm looking at maybe some of these openings more so as just kind of practice for how he comes across in these interviews, how he can get better. Because you look at some of them and the Saints, I know he has ties there. What's the appeal of going to the Saints? There's no quarterback. The cap salary is awful. I guess the biggest, you know, win for that team would be that the division is going to be up for grabs. Perhaps it was a lot of mediocre play across the board there, but unless there's the right opportunity, I don't necessarily see him springing or jumping at a job. I get that you can go from hot to not very quickly in the NFL, as we saw in Cincinnati with their defensive coordinator going from interviews to unemployed. But as long as he has Josh Allen, I think he's in the spot where he's going to be in the cycle next year if he doesn't go anywhere. This is going to be a good opportunity for him just kind of work on some interviews for the head coaching position, and maybe the right fit comes along. I don't necessarily see it.
Ryan, what are you and Matt working on? What can we check out at Syracuse.com? And what do you have on deck for us here on the Shout podcast as well?
Yeah, multiple shows this week. We'll do our three big question episode, perhaps as early as today, where we bring on an insider and they ask a question. We have questions as well there. Matt's lining up some national guests throughout the week to preview this big matchup this weekend in the divisional round. We'll have our staple show Wednesday. We're going to do a preview on Friday and then a show live from Wingnuts with our final thoughts on Saturday. So probably, you know, five podcasts minimum this week. Oof. And then over at the site, I'll put up the PFF grades from yesterday, give Bills fans an inkling of, you know, who performed really well. Did it pass the eye test or not in terms of who they thought fared well in this game? And then we'll start really breaking down the matchup that I think anyone that's a football fan at least can't wait for this weekend.
Ryan, keep up the good work there with Matt. Really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you got it.
There's Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. You can read his work at Syracuse.com. You could check out the Shop podcast wherever you get your shows.
So in the middle of that interview, and if you missed it, you can just go right now to the website and you listen to chapters and you can go back to you could do that for anything you might have missed on the show. But in there talking about Matthew Smiley, it's like, okay, even if the Bills get to where they need to go, it's this recurring, you're not prepared. Hey, it's the final kick of the game. You have to return this. You're not prepared. Oh, there weren't enough guys on the field. You're not prepared. Whatever the case was yesterday on that fake punt, you weren't prepared. So, Danger, if the Bills are going to make, can I interest you in two names here? Because if the Bills are going to go out and get a new special teams coordinator next offseason, you want somebody, you want the best, right? The NFLPA did a survey. This is dating back to 2023. Top five guys, there are two guys, because of their coaching regimes have changed there, they should be on the market. One is the guy who was the interim in New Orleans, Darren Rizzi, was their special teams coordinator. Okay. He, you would think, would be available. And then a guy who, well, is on the street today, as of today, John Fossil with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm.
Fossil's intriguing to me. Rizzi, not so much. But, yeah, I mean, I don't like that we're already – we already have a scapegoat if it goes wrong. Like, you know how this goes. If it goes wrong, you've got your scapegoat. Smiley is the scapegoat. That's the change that will happen in the offseason. That will be the sacrifice that needs to be made when there's a thirst for blood if it doesn't go their way. I hope that they do make it all the way. I hope that they do enough here against the Ravens, and if they were able to get past the Ravens, that we won't be talking about them having to move on from another assistant coach this offseason. And I don't know, and maybe even if they do win it all, they still make that change because there's an opportunity to upgrade there. And sometimes it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. If you're Sean McDermott, maybe you plug your nose and keep smiling around if you end up doing winning it all,
yeah.
If you end up making it to the Super Bowl or winning it all.
Well, it's a team that, you know, it's ready-made, whether it's this year, next year, whenever Josh Allen's career, whenever it ends, they're always going to be in this window. Why would you want to bring in a coach that wants to cut his teeth? I don't have any time for that.
As far as special teams go, for as bad as the fake punt was, and you got to be aware that that is coming. I mean, other than that, special teams were awesome yesterday. I mean, Mims is an all-pro returner. He didn't get anything going. Hollins lays him out. Bass was excellent, both in the kicking game and with his field goals. That blemish, the blemishes in special teams just feel like they get magnified because they have the opportunity to shift the game. And in that instance, the fake punt ended up really not hurting the Bills because they forced a punt the next three plays.
Right.
Ryan Talbot was great, as always, joining us here in the Sports Bar, talking more Bills. And we'll get to happy hour next here on The Fan. Continue to recap yesterday's win against the Broncos and look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens. It is a victory Monday. You know how we like to celebrate that here in the Sports Bar. And with more football on the horizon for us, we invite you to come and hang out with us this Friday. We will be live from 3 until 6, broadcasting live from our friends at Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue in the neighborhood of the Arts, where you can score a 4-pack to go for game day of the limited run Leaping Hazy IPA Playoff Edition. Now, it's only available at Three Heads, and they're only available while they last. Get yours while we're live Friday afternoon from 3 until 6. Delicious Three Heads beer, Freddy's Wood-Fired Pizza, and the perfect pregame just, you know, a few days early there. Friday Football Talk Live Playoff Edition. That's happening this Friday, 3 until 6. We'll look for you at Three Heads in the neighborhood of the Arts with The Fan Rochester. Happy hour next. Time for your calls as well. 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.